Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue to make our way through this chapter 15 of John's Gospel. It's been a great week just taking time to hear the words of Jesus that the church brings us in the Gospels. We're still in the season of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Really, we ought to celebrate it 365 days a year, right? Every year. We're in that. But the church is wise and is a wise mother who takes us through the paschal mystery of Jesus' life, you know, his incarnation. So we have a season we anticipate Advent, the coming of our Lord, and we celebrate his coming and his incarnation. You know, the peak seasons are both Christmas and Easter, right? The great deeds both of Christ's incarnation, and then we celebrate his resurrection and his victory. We're going to be celebrating the Ascension and Pentecost, things like that, the implications, the fulfillment of what Jesus' resurrection is all about, and his life transforming, his saving work for us to be able to heal us, forgive us, transform us, make it possible for us to be born again by water and the Spirit. So as John the Apostle said, we can, with the same fascination I often imagine he used when he expressed, he said, you know, brothers and sisters, we are God's children now. That's who we are. We are God's children. What an amazing, amazing gift we've been given. Absolutely fantastic. Every single human being has an opportunity to become a child of God in the way that John's speaking about it. Every human being is born in the image of God, has the dignity of bearing that image of God. But not everyone is born again by water and the Spirit. Not everyone has the Christ life in them. We don't automatically get the Christ life. We don't get to become children of God in the way John is expressing, that is, becoming part of the family that Jesus is gathering, being united to the person of Jesus, literally being the body of Jesus. He's the head of a new body, of a new Adam, of one new man that he's raising up to be a beautiful offering to the Father, to bring to the throne room of God the Father a people he calls his own, that he's won, he's captured, he's both set free from the shackles of the enemy, but he's gathered to himself one new man, a family to bring to the feet of the Father, to bring before the Father. What the Father's heart longs for is that those who bear his image could all come to him and be part of the family and the fellowship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's just so rich and so beautiful. And friends, knowing it, living in it, walking in it is the secret to our fulfillment here on earth. It's the secret to what? To finding joy. It's the secret to finding peace. Secret to finding happiness, in the right sense of that term. Jesus promises it to us. We talked yesterday about Jesus' command to us to abide in him. Really, the central thing we're meant to do as Christians is to see that we're meant to live in Jesus, to live from him. You know, he uses the image of, an earthy image of a vine that's been planted. He's the one. The Father has planted his vine, Jesus. And that vine is alive. It's alive with the God life. The sap that flows through that vine is the eternal life of God, is God's very own life. And it's from that branch, that's a branch that the Father has planted that's going, as I mentioned yesterday, to keep growing into eternal life. It's going to keep growing forever. It's a beautiful thing. Everything God makes keeps growing. Think about how the universe is expanding. I guess the physicists or astronomers tell us that it's going to contract at some point. It's fascinating what God has done, is doing with his cosmos. It's just a word. It's a message. And this vine of Jesus, you know, by the way, creation, all things that are made were made through Jesus and for Jesus. The Father loves the Son. Think about, as parents, how much we love to give to our children gifts, and we love it when they delight in those gifts. Well, I think that whole gift-giving reality and delighting in our children, delighting in the gifts we give them, it started with God the Father, you know, in creating and giving, and he loves to give to the Son. So everything that has been made for him, for the Son, through the Son, as the Father's gift. And that includes you and includes me. And we're meant to share in this reality of the gift that God has given to us. So the purpose of life, and this is the message we as Christians need to be living to the hilt. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And that's what it means to abide in him, to walk in the teaching of Jesus, to walk with Jesus in that teaching. He didn't just drop a book on our lap. He didn't just kind of lay down or give us two tablets and say, go have at it, go live. He's come to live in us in the new commandment. Jesus said, new commandment I give you, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbors, yourself. And the new commandment really is the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Why? What does that mean exactly? Well, you know, the prophets of the Old Testament, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, talked about the day was coming and the coming of the Messiah, when God would be acting in a new way, that he wouldn't just reveal his commandments to a particular individual here or there or put them on stone tablets, but that he was going to write his commandments on the human heart, the core of our being. He's going to reveal the great commandment to love God, to love neighbor, as we love ourselves. By the way, someday I've got to teach more clearly on what it means to love ourselves. A wonderful friend and teacher, a guy I just met a couple times many years ago, Mike Bickle. He's a Protestant brother. He's a really good teacher on all this stuff about God's love. But he described how little we know the importance that we love ourselves in God in the right way. And he quoted some woman who had come to him at some point and said, you know, I realized something, that my heart is small and I don't love people very much. And one day the Lord told me, the reason you don't love other people is you don't love yourself in the right kind of way. You hate yourself, you hate other people. That's really true. I mean, it's interesting in my own life, there's been a little bit of a battle on that level in my own life. Having grown up in an alcoholic home and had some of the negative fallout of it, with my father, who I love very much and who was a good man, but he struggled with maybe something from his own family of origin, but stuff from the war and things he had to face about himself, that part of what my own father struggled, and he couldn't name it, I think, in quite a long time in his life, was self-hatred, self-loathing. And I think as a child, you grew up in seeing and experiencing that, you start taking it on. And there's a dimension of internalized self-hatred in my own life. And ironically, through the help of a friend of mine, you could see that some of that self-hatred is rooted in pride. I don't love what God made. It's not enough for me, you know, that kind of thing. But that's a little bit of a side trail. But anyway, the point is that we're meant to love God first, meant to love ourselves and to love our neighbor. All these things in God, and Jesus wants to teach us how to do it. He wants to give us the power. And so the commandment is, Jesus said he would give us his Holy Spirit. God would come and dwell in us. And St. Thomas Aquinas and others help us understand that the new law is the Holy Spirit in us. It's the love between the Father and the Son, giving us a power, a capacity to be able to grasp God's purpose and plan, to be able to see and to receive and to live in his constant, unending love for us, and to walk in that. Because that's what we're made for. Friends, we're meant to live in that love. That's what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all about. That's the core reality of God and God's identity and who God is. And Jesus has come to make it possible for us to live in that. And there's a lot that has to change in us to make that possible, because that's not how we instinctually live. We see life on earth as a zero-sum game a lot of times. The more I acquire for myself, the more that I have, the more money, the more power, the more influence, the popularity, you name it. The more of that I have, the better. And if other people have it more than I have it, that's not good, because I want it more than everybody. I want to have it more, have more of it than others have. I want to be the one. I want to be the center of everything. I want to live in the biggest house, in the most important neighborhood, in the most important city, quote unquote, in the world. I want to have the biggest boat. I want to have the biggest car. I want people's head to turn when I come by and they say, well, that guy's different. That's the one. He's the guy. You know, he's not like the rest of the herd. I want everybody to know how different and how special I am. That's the fallen dimension. I mean, it's so common. It happens all the time, and we boast about it in the world. It's so nuts. I mean, we're made for God. It's just the epitome of foolishness. But everybody's running after it. Not everybody, but so many people, right, are running after it. And we don't know where the real gold is. And we don't realize that this longing for greatness and to be recognized as somebody is put in us by God. But the only place it can come from and get validated in is in God. Because, friends, as Jesus said, only God is great, and only God is good, only God is spectacularly amazing, and we're valuable because he values us. That's it. That's the only reason, period. And every achievement the smart guys have, for example, is, you know, ultimately ought to go back to God because God gave them the smarts in the first place. But we take it all to ourselves. You know, we keep buying ourselves bigger planes, bigger houses, bigger this, bigger, 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 bigger. It never stops. All attention on me. And then we do nice things so people can see us, that we're not completely egotistical. But what we miss, friends, we're deceived. We bow our knee to things that are less than us. Without knowing it, we become idolaters. We commit idolatry. Creatures that are made for God, we worship other things. We worship our money because we put it first. We worship our possessions because we put it first. We worship our children because we put them before God. We worship, you name it. We're made for greatness, and that means participating in God's greatness. What did Jesus say greatness is? Greatness is love, God's love. Not just the stuff John Lennon sang about, but God's love. The kind of love, Jesus says, no greater love is a man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. That's the reading in today's gospel. The one who actually knows what's great and what real love truly is talking straight to us. It's straight talk. Are you laying down your life for your friends? Are you willing the good of another with all your heart? Are you willing God's will? Are you loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Jesus said in this reading, I call you friends. Am I relating to Jesus like a true friend in the way that he modeled? Friends, you have in you a capacity to rise to the greatness for which you were made. That means total freedom, absolute freedom to love, to walk in goodness and kindness, to live a life that is beautiful, that literally bears fruit that will last through eternal life. This is in you because Jesus has come to dwell in you in the power of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship with the Father, as we began this week, that John spoke about, the Father and the Son, is the fellowship you've been baptized into. You've been grafted into the living vine that is Jesus. It's so important to say, are you putting first things first? Do you know who you are? Are you radically, totally, with everything you've got, ordering your life around the things that matter most? That's what Jesus has been teaching us to do this whole week. And if we're doing that, we will absolutely bear fruit. And that fruit will last for all eternity. Friends, have a great weekend. Walk in Jesus. Let's get back together again next week. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.